Finally, either in exasperation or fatigue, the great naturalist promised that if Jefferson could produce a single specimen with foot-long antlers, he, quoting here Jefferson, he would give up the question. Well, that's all Jefferson needed. I mean, my, that. He went busily to work writing friends everywhere in America, imploring them to send him all the skins, bones, and horns that they could find. He preferred, he said, entire stuffed animals. And a letter to Archibald Cox in January 7, 1786 is typical of his letters that he wrote. In my conversations with the Count de Buffon on the subject of natural history, I find him absolutely unacquainted with our elk and our deer. He has hitherto believed that our deer never had horns more than a foot long and has therefore classed them with the roebuck, which I am sure you know to be different. Will you take the trouble to procure for me the largest pair of buck's horns you can and a large skin of each color? If possible, take those from a buck just killed and leave all the bones on the in the head on the skin with the horns on. Leave the bones and hoofs of the legs and feet in the skin also, so that having only made an incision all along the belly and neck in order to take out the animal, we could, by sewing up that incision and stuffing the skin, present the true size and form of the animal. It would be a most precious present. Well, that's the kind of letter he sent out. And so in this extraordinary, I think you can only think of it as a comedy of scientific demonstration, bits and pieces of America's animals began arriving at Jefferson's residence. Now, travel, as you can well imagine, it takes 6 to 8 weeks in some cases for these things to cross the Atlantic. Travel was not good for most of these specimens. The birds and the animals that were sent whole decayed badly, and often even the skins and skeletons arrived missing hair and all sorts of parts. Now, Governor John Sullivan was given the prime task of New Hampshire. He took the most trouble of all, for he was commissioned to get the moose that was going to demolish Buffon once and for all. Sullivan, governor of the state, sent a virtual army into the wilderness of New Hampshire. It cost him a huge amount of money. He cut through the wilderness to get to drag out a moose. He even cut a 20-mile road through the woods to drag it out. By the time the specimen arrived in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, to be readied for its transit across the Atlantic, it was half rotten and it lost all of its hair and its head bones, including its horns. So Sullivan sent along the to Paris the horns of another animal. He sends along another horns of another animal, explaining rather blithely, I think, to Jefferson, that they are not the horns of this moose, but nevertheless, they could be fixed on at pleasure. Jefferson's answer to Sullivan, this is October 5th, 1787. His colleagues are worrying about the Constitution, the new government, and he's worried about the moose. This is his letter to Sullivan, written in October 5th, 1787. He's not got the Constitution on his mind. I received a few days ago the box containing the skin, bones, and horns of the moose and other animals, which Your Excellency has been so kind as to take so much trouble to obtain and forward. They were all in good condition, except that a good deal of the hair of the moose had fallen off. However, there remains still enough to give the good idea of the animal, and I am in hopes that Monsieur de Buffon will be able to have them stuffed and placed on his legs in the king's cabinet. Buffon was in the country when I sent the box to the cabinet, so that I have, as yet, have no idea, no answer from him. Understandably, Jefferson was not entirely happy with what he was receiving. And not entirely happy with the effect they were having on Buffon. Although he asked all of his correspondents in America to send him, as I said from the Archibald Carey letter, send him the biggest things they could have, the biggest specimens they could find, he continually apologized to Buffon for their smallness. This is his letter to Buffon on October 6th, the day after he had received this stuff from Governor Sullivan. I am happy to be able to present to you at this moment the bones and skin of a moose, the horns of another individual of the same species, the horns of the caribou, the elk, the deer, the spike throwing buck and the roebuck, and all this stuff coming in, they're all rotting. I can't even imagine what Buffon thought. They all come from New Hampshire and Massachusetts and were received by me yesterday. The skin of the moose was dressed with the hair on, but a great deal of it has come off, and the rest is ready to drop off. The horns of the elk are remarkably small. See, everything's played down. I have certainly seen some of which weighed 5 or 6 times as much. I must observe also that the horns of the deer are not a fifth or a sixth part of the weight of some that I have seen. I beg of you not to consider that these horns now sent as furnishing a specimen of their ordinary size. Well, apparently he convinced Buffon, because he later recalled he promised in his next volume to set these things right, but he died directly afterwards.